Hello, WWE Universe in the Philippines. This is Charlotte, and you're with Stan, Roe, and Raf on the SGP podcast. Woo!
Are you ready? Marks and Smarks. This is the Smart Gilas Filipinas podcast.
You're listening to the longest-running weekly episodic Filipino wrestling podcast. This is the SGP podcast, where we are welcoming Romaran back to the fold after a month-long absence.
It was that long, sir.
Jesus Christ.
It's been a month, man.
Yeah.
I think the last time we saw you outside of the podcast, outside of the Smart Henry Christmas party was a month ago.
No, man.
Yeah, work has been shit, so I had Camus bring me some whiskey today.
Cheers!
Cheers.
On air!
So yeah, I'm happy to be back right before the year's ending. So I'm
in the nick of time.
No, I'm pretty sorry that I missed John Sebastian's epic interview after coming back from Malaysia. And yeah,
he missed the drinking after.
Yeah, absolutely. I also missed that, and I hope to never miss anything again.
Because of work or otherwise.
Yeah,
it's pretty much work. Yeah. That's what happens when you're adulting.
We are adults now. Mm. I mean, this far into the podcast, this far into 2017, on the last episode of 2017.
Yes. I keep
last official.
Yes, it is the last official episode.
But we do have one special.
Spatial.
Yeah, we do. By the time you're listening to this, you already have heard our special episode with Ho-Ho Lun, which pretty much took me about a week to put together. I'll explain in detail how that story went down and why it took a week to put that together. And then, you know, the Christmas holidays happened and I had to take a break. Everyone had to take a break.
And there was adulting involved.
Yeah, and it didn't really make sense to release the episode on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. You know, every one of us had something better to do. So I put that on the back burner and waited for Christmas to die down. And, you know, this week seemed like the perfect time to get to it. Right? Now, you know, just really quickly before the year's ending, can I just take some time to appreciate how a lot of people have already left Metro Manila?
Yes!
I also appreciate this.
Thank you so much for making my work commute bearable.
Do you even have a work commute?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do, sir.
Okay, so there was somebody who posted on Facebook or Twitter. I don't remember who this is, but one of my friends posted something along the lines of them or you realizing how wealthy your other friends are when you see their social media posts for Christmas and New Year's.
That's Renzo.
Yeah.
Oh, there. Yeah, that was Renzo. There, our good
friend
Renzo
of the podcast,
who said that. That's when you realize that, I've got wealthy friends because they're all abroad or out of town. For me, though, I'm just like, thank you all for being wealthy enough to get the fuck out of my streets.
And not celebrate the Jesus birth in Manila.
Yeah. I appreciate it so much because the traffic is so much more manageable, bearable. Diba? There was somebody who was like, I got from BGC to Quezon City in like 30 minutes.
That was Oel Babasa.
Right? So, it makes you appreciate how streets are just much more navigable or manageable.
No. The problem is, it makes you realize that the problem is Manila is way too congested with things that
people
have. No, with things that people have to go to. That they're all here.
Yes,
your job is here. Your school is here.
Your place of residence is here.
Your temporary place of residence is here, whereas your summer home is elsewhere.
Yeah, and it's also a function of just there being too many cars.
Yeah.
It's so easy to buy a car, and everyone has multiple cars, and lagay nga ng number coding system, but, coding ako today, let me use my other car. So, you don't really solve anything with all of that, but that's something that we're not going to get...
It's neither here nor there.
We're not going to get too much into on this podcast. Mm-hmm. Anyway, this week's episode is our traditional year-ender. Now, normally what we've been doing towards the end of the year is we'd have the awards episode and the theme song show. Mm. So this year, we're going to be migrating the awards show to smartkenry.ph.
I've cast my ballot.
Yeah. So I asked everybody to send their ballots in. And I'm going to be...
Ballots of integrity.
Well, it'll be... it will have integrity to some degree. But I will tell you off the bat that not all of the votes will entirely count.
Yes.
Why am I saying this? Because there are certain things that have to take precedent over others. For example, there was one year where we let everyone cast a vote on SGP. We were like, which is the theme song of the year? And you fuckers chose Tyler Breeze's song.
I chose it too, bros.
It's terrible.
Over a lot of other better songs that came out that year. So I've learned my lesson from that, and I realize that I will give the people in the bullpen, in the Smart Henry bullpen, some say on some categories and some votes.
Some say.
But there are certain awards that for all intents and purposes, it'll only be XYZ that wins.
Sure. Yes.
Like, no matter how many votes it gets, XYZ will win over ABC. Right?
Hmm, so, interesting.
So, there. That's my disclaimer for the awards. And I'll try my best to justify everything. And as always, my Twitter line is open. It's @_Stancy. By the time this episode is out, I'm pretty sure the article will be up as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, try to be nice. Just... especially on Saturday, because that's my anniversary with the valet, so lay off me on that
the
day.
The valet!
So lay off me on that day. But, you know, Sunday and every other day forward, come at me, bro. And now, without...
Does she know that she's the valet?
Of course she knows she's the valet. Kamos, only you would pull that shit off. Anyway.
I know a couple of other people on the internet that would, though.
Okay.
And they listen to this podcast.
Okay.
Okay. Alright, so... Today, as Sam mentioned, we're going to do the theme song of the theme
entrance
song awards.
Awards.
So the basic, I'm going to explain the rules as this is my creation from the old Rose War days. Basically, we are judging all of these new releases from this year. So it has to be,
calendar
a new
year.
Yeah, a new release from the calendar year. So it could be anyone's new theme song, whether it's someone already new or someone debuting. A song is their theme song debuted this year. And we are judging this by the musicality of the song.
Not by the wrestler,
not by how over it is, although that will be a little bit of a factor.
Yes.
But of just the merits of how good it is as a piece of music.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you recall last year, your top two songs were Glorious Domination, by which is Bobby Roode's theme.
Yep.
That was number two, and number one was The Rising Sun, Shinsuke Nakamura. Uh-huh.
Yes.
So there were several cruiserweight themes that actually made it to last year's top ten.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember Cedric Alexander's theme in there, TJP's theme was in there as well. A lot of good stuff from last year. There was 2015, which had a lot of bad ones
to
be identified. And 2014 was just pretty much all over the place. And you know, I ended up with the Tyler Breeze song.
Yes.
So over the last couple of years, where I came into the picture is we tried to put some more structure into the award show, where we basically turned it into a top 10.
Top 10.
Top 10.
It was pretty much our year-ender chart.
Yes.
As you know, as though we were on radio.
Right.
As Stan is.
Yes. So what we're going to do for this year is we've got 11 songs that we're featuring this year. So that means we've got your top 10 and we've got an honorable mention.
Sure.
So let's start with our honorable mention track, which is... At honorable mention, you've got Judas by Fozzy, which technically hasn't been used as an entrance theme yet. But if you've been following the Jericho Omega promos, then you can pretty much infer already that this is the song that Chris Jericho will come out to at Wrestle Kingdom 12.
Next week.
The thing is, Wrestle Kingdom has, and New Japan as a whole, has had issues with all of these foreign songs being used for copyright purposes. They can never seem to get the copyright,
The
copyright down
the rights to use the song
for their shows. However, Jericho, as copyright holder for his songs, makes it so simple.
Yeah.
And it's like, you use his most popular song right now off of one of his best albums. Make it work. Make it happen. And I mean, they used it for NXT TakeOver Chicago. Why not Wrestle Kingdom? Right?
Yeah. Jericho tries to have a history of using his own songs, but for some reason... He doesn't get to use them.
No, he does. No. He actually has before, like early WWE, but it just fell flat.
No. I mean, like a lot of Fozzy songs could very well be used as his entrance theme. But of course, you have to go back to the old traditional Break the Walls Down and whatever remixes it has now. I guess that's a good way for Jericho to break away from tradition. And finally use a good song of his, actually.
Great song of his.
Yeah. This is my favorite Fozzy song, hands down. I love the lyrics, how it's really all about betrayal. And it's something that pretty much resonates throughout his character arc as a wrestler. Even the songwriting. You take a look at how he repeats certain lyrics in the hook. And how in the video, binaga niya talaga with the visual of him just spinning around mentally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's a great combination of audio and video. And whenever he plays it on Talk is Jericho, even if I've listened to it countless times, I can't bring myself to fast forward it because I just love the song.
I will say this though, if this song actually qualified for our list, this would have made my top 3.
Okay.
I would agree. I'd probably say the same thing.
But because it doesn't, it gets the honorable mention, and you know, it gets the distinction of it might be on next year's list.
Mm. That's a
plausible thing. Even if it's in just New Japan, I will give him that.
Oh.
I will give him that much.
Hmm.
And now we go to song number 10 to kick off our countdown officially.
Shock the system.
At number 10, you've got the theme song of the Undisputed Era. Now, the first thing that I thought when I heard this was, this really sounds like the NWO theme.
And that's valid. That's valid. That guitar riff.
The guitar riff is reminiscent of the old NWO theme. Jimi Hendrix about it.
Jimi Hendrix. Uh-huh. Yes.
But it's not the same. Like
it's not a ripoff.
It's much slower.
It's much slower.
I'd like to think that CFO Dollar Sign has done a good job of creating something that's original that Kaipa Panda.
Yeah.
Even if it's again repetitive, which is I guess the nature of all wrestling themes in the modern era. It makes you remember the old NWO song, but it doesn't really quite directly rips it off.
Yeah.
The way I justified yung NWO association when I wrote the column on this for Theme Song Tuesday is, when you look at the Undisputed Era, they're kind of like the NXT version of the Outsiders.
Sure.
But you've got Adam Cole, who's like the big single star, and then you've got the established tag team in Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish, even though Cena Nash and Hall weren't really a tag team then. Parang ganun na rin yung roles. They're basically NWO light because they're much smaller.
True.
Much younger.
True.
So in a way, the association works for me. And what I like about the song is it's slow enough to have that swagger. Now, you know, if you notice yung gait
ni
Kyle O'Reilly.
You could strut to it. Yeah, you could
basically
strut to it.
The Kyle O'Reilly strut when he goes out, yung parang kuba siya, but he does that power walk.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird, but it kind of fits at the same time.
It does work. And it's something, and then not just for that. I mean, also for the shadow boxing that Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish do as well, it works. And about swing, swing, swing. Oh, yeah.
And then what I like about this song is that there are little sound bites here and there where he goes, come on. Boom, which Adam Cole actually mouths and lip syncs along to when he comes out on his own. So,
It's probably him.
But I like how he at least made the effort to nasasabay niya every time he's coming out on his own. So, there.
Very digestible. It's a very digestible song. Na parang you could imagine this in a gym, you could imagine this playing on a Jeep even, and it doesn't feel out of place.
The reason why I bumped this down to number 10 is because it really is just a loop. There are some of these songs are also essentially loops, but this one masalita siya because it's just an instrumental.
Yeah, it's the same riff over and over. Parang I don't think there was an effort to make a solo.
Yeah, not much. Not much going on here, but at the end of the day, that riff, even though repeated, warrants at least the 10th slot.
Number 9.
Velveteen Dream.
At number 9, we've got the Velveteen Dream's theme song, which is aptly entitled Velveteen.
Wow.
Can you spell? Can you spell, sir?
So what do we like about this song?
May swagger din.
Yeah, may swagger.
It's a little more original.
It's a lot more spelling.
Yeah.
I don't remember the last time somebody asked us to spell for a theme song. I really cannot.
Okay.
All right.
And it works as an original concept for somebody who is a little annoying. It fits the character.
Who constantly asks people to say his name.
It does. And it makes it. It's a little bit of Jimmy also.
Oh,
it's a little bit of Jimmy also, but it's not that forceful.
Mm.
What makes this theme stand out is that it's sleazy, but it's low key sleazy.
Mm.
So it sounds like the soundtrack to a 70s softcore porn film.
Well.
It kind of gives off the same vibe as Val Venus's
theme. I was gonna go with Studio 54 shit.
Well, you won't hear this on Digital Playground.
Oh,
that's true. That's true.
Or fucking Vivid, right? But yeah, so that's the kind of vibe it gives off. The Prince references are there, obviously, because he's one of the inspirations for the Velveteen Dream character.
Yep.
So you hear that all over the song. And In the same way the Undisputed Era gives you that feeling of angas ako, you're not gonna fuck with me, Velveteen Dream gives off a similar vibe but not necessarily an abrasive one.
I just it, gives, like it. It gives you the vibe that you're gonna fuck.
Okay. Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah, but no, going off that, I guess I like it because it doesn't sound like anything else. That it doesn't sound like a generic wrestling song.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, it's something that,
which is more than you can say for a lot of other stuff.
Yeah, it's original. I like it. It's got that big muff sound.
Okay.
Sorry. It's a muff. That's the filter sound muffed. With it. Muffed.
Muffled.
Look at you thinking outside of the box.
Muffed. Hey, box.
And it's nice.
All right, now that we got Camus' lust out of the way, let's get to song number 8. Alright, at number 8, you have Kairi Sane's theme. It's called The Next Voyage. It sounds very different from what she came out to during the Mae Young Classic. So that makes me really sad because if she'd stuck with that theme and if that theme was actually released on YouTube and on Spotify, I would have campaigned for this in actually, at least top 5. That theme was really good. Not so much.
That theme, the original theme, sounds like pretty much like something from Final Fantasy game soundtrack.
Something that comes out of like a Tactics.
It
sounds like a Final Fantasy.
SNES games. Yeah. You know.
It fits that vibe, and it doesn't feel like a wrestling song.
Yeah, it does.
It has no place being an entrance theme where you walk out and you're like, "Yeah, I'm gonna kick somebody's ass." It's like, "Hi, I'm a pirate princess."
No, to be fair, the current version of the song is also has the same atmosphere, same vibe. And I'd like to give the reason why I still put it on this list is because you can tell that Sifos were challenged here, and they kind of delivered in on something that's pretty different from your usual range of genres within wrestling. Even when you consider different classical music pieces.
Yeah.
Uses themes.
Yung original theme that you remember from the Mae Young Classic, like every time I heard it, I would always hear the phrase, "Let's go on an adventure," in my head. Like I would always hear
let's go sailing because she's a sailor.
But with this one, like that first hook kind of makes me think of the OVAs. Like those anime movies that you probably watched growing up, right?
It's like it's something out of a JRPG even.
Right.
And that's the thing here. It's the theme says Japan. But it says, this is all of the right things about Japan.
See, that's a good thing and a bad thing at the same time. Because you end up typecasting or being very stereotypical about the wrestling.
I didn't think that the theme screamed Japan.
I did.
I did not.
Yeah, it's the Koto. The Koto instrumental gets me.
Same.
And that's the thing. The Koto is so indicative of Japanese music.
Kind of like yung themes in a Tajiri and Kenzo Suzuki. Mm. Like when you hear those first few seconds,
even Hideo.
Yeah.
It's the same. It's the same digital instrument that you can get on GarageBand.
So the only Japanese guys who really have it different are Nakamura and Asuka.
Well, those are the only two guys.
Yeah. So there. Are we good with Kairi Sane?
Sure.
All right. With that said,
it's still so cute. It's still so cute.
Okay, let's get to song number 7. Now we're getting to the good stuff.
Yeah. Ooh, hiff-haff.
At number 7, we got Cassius Ohno's theme, which is a collaboration with Sifo Dollar Sign and Cody Beware, who, if you've been following the Kings of Wrestling from their ROH days, was the guy behind their theme song.
I was going to say, I forgot his name's Cody Beware.
His name is Cody Beware.
It's such a good rapper name.
Here's another fun fact.
It's so good.
All right, so there's a Billboard article from the US, which counts all the best wrestling references in hip-hop.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Okay.
So this the original Kings of Wrestling themes actually on that list.
Oh,
despite it being an independent theme.
Yeah.
Right. So it was one of the standout ones, and that theme is really about Cesaro and Cassius Ohno from their indie days. So it's nice now they were able to bring Cody Beware on this track, and I like I like this theme. Like, there's something about how it's easy to sing along to. The hook just gets you.
Yeah.
Everyone can shout and scream along
and
to it.
And they're breaks. They're nice breaks in this song.
And hype siya talaga. Yeah. And it's a really good hip-hop song for a theme. And I guess the only problem is it repeats itself.
Yes.
It's just you hear, oh no, and that verse.
No, the verse.
And the verse. And the verse. Two verses. Na paulit-ulit. But the you get oh no every so often.
Yeah, which
it
is
gets,
nice.
Which is nice, but gets old.
No, my problem then is that the rhymes are basic.
Yes,
they're pretty basic.
Which, even the cadence is basic.
But it works.
Yeah, it works. Kasi may dating siya.
Oh, but, and sometimes that's all you need.
Yes, yeah, I guess when you really want to make a song that's really pumping up and you know and singable, right?
But sing backable even.
Sing sure. It's just that I really can't get past how basic the bars and the flow are.
Yeah, it's basically like pinagawa mo siya sa 12-year-old. Like 12-year-old can
para
make
para siya para siya project sa school.
Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
For your music class.
Yeah,
right?
for like your garage band sample class.
Yeah, yeah.
Parang you have the option, make a podcast or make a song.
Yeah, and they came up with this shit.
Yeah.
So there.
And it's fine.
So that's kind of what docks the points off this song and pushes it down to 7.
This is a really nice basic song. That's a problem.
Yung tipong pinasang awa lang nila.
Oh.
Right. So that's why it's at number 7. Now, let's get to song number 6. At number 6, you've got Bring the Swag, which is the theme that the Street Profits use. On NXT.
I love this song.
Yeah, this one was one of the dark horse entries.
Oh.
When this one came out, I was like, I'm not sure how to feel about this, but the more I listened to it, I was like, all right, this is growing on me. I like this. I want to stir shit up.
It's a jam.
It's a jam. This is so good. It is so good.
Makulit siya.
Hindi lang makulit eh. The first time I heard it on a promo, I'm just like, is their entrance music, huh?
Hmm.
So they're giving Angelo Dawkins and this other guy this shit.
To be fair, though, Montez Ford is the better character.
And before they started, he was just Red Shoes dude with Red Cup.
The Red Cup.
Yeah.
Now that's what he was. Now it's Black Cup and no Red Shoes anymore. Mm. It's still so good because it makes the entrance work. It musicality-wise, it's nice, has a nice drop. I can live with this song and it is on a higher level than Cassius Ohno. Just because it is so much more fun.
Tsaka saktong-sakto sa gimmick nila. It's a party song for real.
Yeah.
And
it's a banger.
Yeah, it's a banger actually.
It's a banger.
It's a bang in the clubs. And I'm amazed that Sifo Dollar Sign was able to capture and distill the gimmick into the song.
And it works.
It's also kind of pretty basic structure-wise.
Structure-wise, yes.
And lyrics-wise. But
it's so much more fun.
It's much more fun and catchier than Cash's own song.
So the things that kind of dock points off this one are, number one, paulit-ulit din siya.
Yes.
Like, there isn't really any originality to the verses that way. Second is, and I told Ro this when I was writing the article for this one, is they went with a white rapper, Jay Frost.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I don't want to sound racist here, pero wala talagang dating eh.
Yeah.
There are some white rappers, and I'm looking at UG Easy, no wala talagang dating.
Yeah.
And it's kind of unfortunate because, you know, Eminem, meron siyang dating.
Yes.
Peak Macklemore, meron. Right? Machine Gun Kelly, when he wants to.
Yeah.
May dating din siya. But Jay Frost, not so much. So I would have really appreciated it if they went with an African-American rapper just because, puta, you know, did you see Angelo Dawkins and Montez Ford? You might as well go all in.
So, BBC!
Dun lang, okay. What? Thank you for outing yourself and your desires.
No.
What?
Going back, let's bring it back.
Big black dudes.
Let's bring it back.
Big black dudes.
Kulang lang nandating just because of the guy that, you know, that performed the song. Shut up, Gamas. So yeah, now you just took me off.
Oh, right. Good job.
Now let's just go to song number 5. Shut up, Gamas.
Yeah, Ayos.
Alright, at number 5, we've got the Usos theme. So it's Down With That, and there's a remix. So both these songs came out this year. So for the purposes of this countdown, we're talking about the remix.
The one with their vocals on it.
Yes.
And the one with their vocals on it is exactly what the Street Profits song should have been.
Yes.
Basically, while the Street Profits theme, the Bring the Swag one, is okay, in that it captures the character, but, you know, it had a white guy on it. The Usos is a home run because it is them.
Yes,
literally. They did it themselves.
It's their character and it is them on the track.
Yeah,
and they brought it real hard.
Yeah, now this tops off the trifecta of hip hop songs that we've just played. This one by far is the one that I felt stood out for me when you heard the remix versus the original.
Oh, no,
I was just like, "Ooh, wait, that's them. Mm. That's them." And you paid attention to it because you knew that the Usos could sort of rap.
No, I didn't. I wouldn't say that. That's kind of racist. But
I'm going to say they
cut out such good promos as heels. So I'm not going to say that they're good rappers.
I didn't say they were good rappers. I just said that they could rap.
I like the interplay here between both guys. I mean, obviously you can't tell which one's saying which part.
Sure.
Right? Which kind of adds to, you know, the gimmick. Nah, they're twins and you can barely tell them apart. Sometimes I actually wonder how the commentators can tell them apart.
Tattoos. And
really?
Placement.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah, but Jay has
one additional one.
Okay.
And that's
what
they look out for. And then I think Jimmy has something on his back.
See, what I try to look for are yung facial hair. Kasi mas buo yung kay Jimmy. Kay Jay mas scraggly. And then yung ngipin ni Jimmy mas buo. Okay. yung kay Jay para mas bungi eh. Or mas grills type. For some reason. So that's how I can tell. But anyway, that's beside the point. Right. So the Usos theme, I like how this sounds like something na. Baggish is a penitentiary gimmick that they've been trying to push.
Yeah.
So these guys are hard-ass fuckers that you don't want to fuck with at all.
In Air Force Ones.
And they convey that very perfectly in their songs.
Yeah.
So for them to be able to sum that up so perfectly, kahit na umulit din yung verses, it deserves props over the last, basically the last 5 songs we've played up to this point.
And I think at this point, they're the only ones who have sung their song.
Yeah,
at
that's
this
right.
Point, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. At this point, yes. And it's fun. It's fun to see.
If you don't count Judas, sure.
Yeah. Well, it's an HN.
Yeah, it's an honorable mention at this point.
Yeah.
So let's get to song number 4 then. Alright, I really had to fight for this song. Okay, I kind of pushed for this to be in the top 5 just because there's something about the Johnny Gargano character that's always been very magnetic.
Mm.
And having a song like this kind of ups that ante even more now that he's solo. It probably helps na it sounds different because it's got the Paramore feel to it.
That's where I was going with this, man.
Right?
Yeah.
Not a lot of entrance themes actually have in the first place. So
it's been a while since we've heard something like that.
The female vocals. This is the closest we're gonna get to a Paramore styled song, and I know that Miss Nicole out there is a big fan of this. Because it's the one band she's not gonna get to see next year.
Don't remind her, Camus.
Reminding her.
You're a fucking asshole. Why would you do that?
But this is a good song. This is a good song on its own, but when you couple it with the fact that they found the right person to do the vocals, they got enough of that originality to it. It feels right.
No, I'm not sure if you noticed this, but this theme is an evolution of his previous themes. So the themes that Gargano came out with from 2015 up until DIY, this is basically stage 2.
Mm.
So if the first one is basic, that was stage 1, you said DIY.
Second level.
This is stage 2. This is like the Charizard or the Blastoise of
War Turtle
is stage 1. This is like
stage 1 evolution.
Yeah, this is the second evolution of the themes, is what I'm trying to say.
Okay. Wow, sorry. I thought because if I was going to go if you start off with Squirtle, you have to go to War Turtle.
You got to top up your whiskey, Camus.
I do.
So there. The Johnny Gargano theme is great to rally people behind him, especially when he comes out. Like
It's a great babyface theme.
Yeah, you have the clapping beat at the start, and then it's easy to sing along to, even though you can't reach the notes really. Mm.
and no one's gonna reach them notes because they're so high, like Hayley Williams.
Yeah, yeah. It's a fun theme, and every time it comes on, I see these days I've been fast forwarding through entrances, but this one I try not to. You stay for Johnny Gargano's entrance,
and it's and we have to bring up the fact that it's one of the few pop punk, non female pop punk songs
not
that
female.
Is being used. No, not being used by a female. There are a couple that, that are used by girls,
sure,
but he's one of the few that uses a pop punk theme and goes with female vocals, which lends to very contrasting styles for me.
In a way, I would actually say na bagay nga din to kay ano eh, kay Ruby Riott. Because of the lyrics, be yourself, be like no one else.
She could have used this.
Yeah, be yourself, be like no one else, another day, gonna give them hell. Right? So this could have actually worked for Ruby Riott. But I'm glad that this is Johnny Gargano's theme. I just love it. Right, let's get to song number three as we enter the home stretch. First off, guys, at number three, before we talk about this, may tanong ako ha. So yung kumanta ba nito, Edgelord May Pamilya?
Fuck that, Jesus. Fuck that.
So, alright, so it took me a while to get over the bye-bye-bye intro of Baron Corbin's theme. Yep. Alright, it's called I Bring the Darkness End of Days, by the way. So it took me a while to get over it.
Nakailang demo versions nito eh.
Tatlo?
Yeah.
Yeah, nakatatlo.
About nakatatlo?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm fine with the other versions, but then
no,
this...
No, no.
I was fine with it when they started changing it up.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you knew that coming from that first, the drop spot entrance,
yeah,
and they're gonna change it. Okay, fine. Find something that fits. This fits. Mm. This fits, and this fits hard.
Yeah, it does. Especially when Killswitch Engage guy started doing the vocals for it.
Yes! Ooh.
What's his name again?
Tommy Vexed.
Yeah, yeah, Tommy Vexed.
Right, so there's something in his voice na it's puro siya. It's so full. Like when he starts singing the vocals, it's pretty good. It kind of lulls you in.
Yeah.
And then you realize that, wait, this is some edgelord shit we're listening to.
Yeah.
So much edgelord.
Black metal singer.
Yeah, but if you know Baron Corbin, at least outside the ring, if you've been following him on, say, social media,
if you've
or
listened
Breaking
to his podcast
Ground,
guestings. Mm.
Yes, his podcast guestings.
I think with Jericho, he brought it up that he wanted one of these guys that he was a fan of to do his vocals.
Yeah.
And he gets his wish.
And he's really into this type of music. Mm. Like, if you saw Breaking Ground, he does go out of his way to attend metal shows.
Yes.
Right, so bagay din sa character, bagay din sa human being playing the character.
Yep.
So, this song kind of does stand out pa rin eh, even though there's so much rock in wrestling, right?
Yes.
It stands out
there's
because,
so much good rock in wrestling.
Yeah, but a lot of that rock is generic drivel.
Yep.
This one isn't. And I'm kind of glad that Baron Corbin at least gets this now. Kasi medyo nasawa na rin ako sa old theme niya. The post-apocalyptic
like
shit.
Though.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't bad. It wasn't great.
Actually, kung lagyan mo yun ng vocals,
it would have been a lot better. Mm. But that's what they got to do with this song. Na parang, you have a good metal song, good metal backing, the right guy singing it, and it just comes together so nicely.
All right. Now, let's stick to this genre as we get to song number two.
Ooh.
At number two, you've got Root of All Evil, which is the theme song of Aleister Black, if you didn't sing along to it just now. And if you've noticed on NXT, people are legitimately singing along to this.
Because it is so good and repetitive in the best ways.
Yeah, in the best way, actually.
In the best ways. Because, you know, when you have something that is this fucking heavy, and you have repetitive vocals that people can sing back to, then that creates an amplification effect that you don't necessarily... design, But when it happens, it happens. And it happens so well with this.
I get what you're trying to say. I'm pretty sure that the guys who sang this song didn't really intend for the crowd to sing it back to them.
So they're a band called Incendiary. They're not very well known, but there is a bit of a science to it. So when it comes to songwriting, and I learned this from Charlie Puth, when he writes songs, he tried to write notes such that makakanta mo siya regardless of what key you sing in.
Okay.
So example, Marvin Gaye, if you have a high voice, or let's say you're a girl, it's easy to go sing along with it.
Octave higher.
But if you're a dude, let's say you're a frat guy partying, you can always just shout, "Let's Marvin Gaye and get it on." It's kind of the same principle with this track.
You can go high, you can go low, and it works both ways.
Because you can just shout along. No man is ever truly good. No man is ever truly evil. See, it kind of works. So it doesn't matter how you sing it or what key you sing it in.
Or if you just growl.
Right, or if you just growl. Yeah. So in a song, from a songwriting and composition standpoint, they kind of they were able to hit pay dirt with this one.
Oh, this is beyond pay dirt. This is like, this is restream on Spotify until you are sick of it, until you don't want to listen to it anymore, at which point you want to listen to it again and start shouting at people.
So pay dirt, yeah.
Yeah, pretty sure that meant pay dirt. In a musical sense.
Thanks, Gamos.
Good job, Gamos, for defining something we've clearly established already.
Yeah, again. Can I just say that this song kind of sounds like what you'd expect a Satanist to listen to?
Yes! This is ito yung tunay na edgelord music! Right? Ito yung tunay na edgelord music! Because, seriously, when he first came out to it during his debut, I didn't think it would be that good.
What?
No, I didn't. When you see what they did with it, if you knew what he was before, when he was Tommy End, it was never this satanic. It was dark, but it wasn't blatantly satanic. And then you just watch this shit and like, when are they gonna start sacrificing people to this shit?
But wait, the entrance. The song's lyrics aren't even satanist or satanic.
Yeah, yeah,
they're not.
They're not. They are very gray area.
They're actually pretty immoral.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's all gray.
Also very confident, diba?
Yeah.
Like, I do the things you never could, and we will never be equal. Like, you can easily hear that on a hip hop song.
Sure.
Yes. There, and that makes me imagine a hip hop remix for this, which shouldn't be done soon.
Like, Lil Wayne can easily say that on his next track, and we wouldn't be surprised. We wouldn't. Right? So, yeah. Shit. See, it goes back to what Charlie Puth taught us. So, somebody remixed the DJ Khaled, another one. Alright, round two. Much fun.
It.
Let's get this song.
Number one!
Number one. Another one.
Greatest. The sad part about this song is, such a good song, but
for a guy who is not on air.
Yeah, for a guy who's pretty much at this point in SmackDown history is a bust right now.
Yeah,
because I'm not gonna say he's written off completely. He's working his way back, but
and he was a lumberjack a few weeks ago.
He was. Okay, he's not completely off. Oh. But the thing is, this song needs to be on TV more often. Jesus Christ, I wish.
So when I first heard this song, my power ballad loving self just started jumping and celebrating. Because power ballads.
Didn't we use this at some point?
Yeah, we did.
For a few episodes.
Yeah, power
ballads. That's how good it was.
Have a very special place in my heart, and they don't get played enough in 2017 for obvious reasons. Unless you listen to Massa stations, which play them 24/7.
107.5.
Wish.
Among other stations.
Laglagan!
Right? Among other stations. Let's face the facts. Ganun talaga.
Face the facts!
But, you know, it's nice to have a power ballad in WWE, especially given the gimmick that Mike and Maria Kanellis have been trying to work with. Mm.
And unfortunately...
Yeah, fortunately
and unfortunately, Maria got pregnant, so she's off air.
Fortunately, yes.
Unfortunately, Mike Kanellis is not wrestling. Got addicted, got help.
Yeah, got
fortunately,
help.
Got help. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, we do not get to enjoy this theme song
As much as we should,
given that Mike Kanellis has been on the roster for at least 8 months.
Yep. You just gotta know that it's the best song to come out of this year.
Yeah. And if this song just got much more mileage, if Mike Kanellis was out there more, people would be singing along to this song as much as we're singing along to Glorious Domination.
And true. As you mentioned, thank you for mentioning Glorious Domination, because it kind of follows the same vein because of how catchy it is and how cheesy it is. In the same 80s rock vein.
And it works. It works. It's not Queen.
There's a reason. No, it's more of Fonet. It's more of Twisted Sister. You know? More Van Halen. Yeah.
I was going to say Van Halen, yes. But also at the same time, Huey Lewis. Just enough of Huey Lewis in there.
What?
Just enough.
Journey.
Yeah, I think we can all agree with
that. Yeah. So I'm just saying that there's a reason why those two songs were number one back to back.
Yeah. So a huge factor that goes into what we determine gets into the countdown is really the sing-along factor. Because from my experience, one of the best parts of being at a wrestling event is when the crowd gets engaged. And one of the first touch points between a wrestler and the crowd is the music.
Theme song.
Right, the theme song. Right?
Those first three notes when they hit.
Yeah.
And you know that that's your guy.
Not just that. The fact that you know the theme song by heart and you can sing along to every word. But there's a reason why The Game is such a classic. Because there are people who can sing everything down to the bridge. And, you know, Throat Bleeding Be Damned will go all out Lemmy style.
And Lemmy doesn't even remember all of the words.
Speaking of Lemmy, we got to do a quick in memoriam here. Because passed away this year.
That was this year.
No, 2 years ago.
2 years ago, what?
By December 28th. Yeah. It's been 2 years.
I was going to say, but it still feels so fresh.
It still feels so fresh. Probably because he hasn't been inducted into the Hall of Fame yet.
There you go. Lemmy for 2019. Hall of Fame.
Yeah, hopefully. Because if you've been reading the dirt sheets, there's already 2019? A prospective list for the 2018 Hall of Fame.
Yep.
With Bam Bam Bigelow on it as well.
Right. And Kid Rock on it. Fuck Kid Rock!
Yeah. Never heard a white boy quite like me.
Yeah, see, we're saying this because we hate his inclusion in the WWE 2K18 soundtrack.
It's anyway, so terrible!
Alright, okay, coming tits, guys.
Sorry!
Coming tits. We've ranted about this online already.
It's bad!
Alright, so those are our top 10 for 2017. Just a quick recap once again before we end this year's countdown.
Number 10.
No, your honorable mention is Judas by Fozzy. Watch out for this next year, particularly at Wrestle Kingdom 12. That's next week. At number 10, we have the theme song of the Undisputed Era.
Number 9.
You've got the Velveteen Dreams theme.
Number 8.
You've got Kairi Sane's theme.
Number 7.
Cassius Ohno's theme.
Number 6.
You've got the Street Profits.
Number 5.
The Usos theme, which they sung themselves.
Number 4.
Johnny Gargano's theme.
Number 3.
Baron Corbin's Edgelord with a Family theme.
Number 2.
Aleister Black's Satanic theme.
And number 1.
Best power ballad in wrestling ever.
Alright, before we end the episode, we talked about our best of the year. But what about the worst of the year? Not necessarily full list, but just, you know, throw in some of your worst. I'm gonna say the CFOs really dropped the ball in Jason Jordan's theme.
Yes.
Because it had to go through so many demo versions before they found one. They perfected a track, you know, to its final stage.
Yeah, I kind of hated that. Didn't like that at all.
Talagang pinilit na yung pagka-demo niya. Like, okay, we're really turning in this shit na super. The first version. Sounds really half-baked. Obviously, parang siyang ginawa, not even in a sampler, but in on an 808.
Yeah, and that's what sucks, because Jason Jordan had so much coming in, then you're like, they probably had time to make him something as opposed to just putting together a couple of demos that they had lying around. Sign him in.
Another one of the bad songs on my list, at least, has got to be
another one.
The Bludgeon Brothers theme. That was a bit of a letdown. Yeah.
I'm okay with it.
No, it's hate mediocre.
I hate how it's all synth. Like, they didn't go all out with the hardness of the rock.
Parang minadalino naman nila.
Yeah, they half-assed it. So I really have to hate on that one. But if I took out the recency bias, I'd probably go with Shelton Benjamin and Chad.
Oh,
That's a decent theme song.
That's not bad.
Yeah, it's not. I know it's mediocre as fuck. But I'd work out to it.
Yeah, my I don't like the theme of what's his face? Lars.
Really?
Yo, that's a good theme.
I don't like Lars's theme. It's like, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying personal preference wise.
I was asking what the bad stuff.
It's one of those. To me, it ends up becoming bad because you think about what this could have been if they put a little bit more time behind it.
You know what Lars's theme sounds
like?
What? The apocalypse's
theme.
No.
It does. It's got the lullaby-ish thing at the start.
That's the thing that kills me with it.
And then it turns into a hard rock song. But the Apocalypse's theme is actually a good song.
Yes.
Speaking of PWR, can we just
PWR.
Can we just give best new local theme to Kapitan PWR?
No. Because I'm going to give it to the Trabajadores.
No.
Dude, the Trabajadores theme is the best one.
MTNH's theme.
No.
Right now. It hits the second. When it hits in the second verse, Jesus Christ.
Do we have time to listen to the second verse? No one gives a shit about the second verse when you're at a show.
He's right.
No.
It builds up.
It doesn't matter. No, the Trabajadores theme actually builds up. And that one, when the beat drops, that's when you just go ape shit. Like, you can tell that the guys under the mask, they're just waiting for that drop, which
it takes is
about
nice. It is nice.
97 seconds long. No, it does. If you've heard the actual file,
yeah, I know.
It is. But okay, let's go back to Kapitan PWR. Kapitan PWR's theme is a great song on its own. The problem is, I've been listening to this song since about 2009.
Okay, so what's your point?
No, in unrecorded version. When they found the Oemons, who I'm not sure what their connection is to PWR, but I think there is one.
Trian Nawa.
Is the guy on that, and he lent this theme to Kapitan PWR. It is great. This song is great. It's just, personally, I'm sick of it. I've heard it so often at their shows for like the past how many years that I've been watching this.
Yeah, but what's your point? I'm just saying it's a good.
It works so well. It works so well, but to me, it's not.
So just say it's not new anymore.
It's not new.
Oh, fine, it's not new. So yeah, let's go with the Trabajadores theme.
That took a while for you to say.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Long-winded.
All right. So there you go. There you have it. That's our list of both the local themes and the WWE themes that we came up with. Obviously, we can't really include, say, New Japan or Ring of Honor because we just don't have access to all those themes.
MWF does make good song choices. Especially Nisha themes, Nisha original themes.
Yeah, I mean, like, I never would have guessed
Gigs
someone
my from life.
A, no, wait lang. I never would have Gigs guessed the Gucci life. Gang would be used in a fucking wrestling event.
Kyle Po.
I fucking told my co-DJs over at Wave, did you know the Gucci Gang was used at a wrestling event locally?
Kyle
and they were like, no shit.
Kyle Po season.
Yeah.
But so, Gigs My Life. Gigs My Life should be a tagline, should be on a shirt.
It doesn't even make sense though. Like outside of the song, like when they finally get chased by Phil Scap.
Oh, what's Phil Scap gonna do? Charge them $1,000?
Yes!
That's basically what happened to us. That's why I stopped using Eminem songs. And that's why MDM had to stop using Take On.
Yeah.
That was so sad.
Basically, yeah, it did kill the gimmick. So there.
But his new theme, his subsequent theme song was actually very good and made a It made a recent reemergence in the Carlo show.
Sure. Okay.
All right.
Which means it's not going to waste completely.
Okay. Thanks, Gamos. Thanks for plugging the show that you're part of again. All right. Now, before we get out of here, we got to remind you that if you want more PWR goodness, you can actually pick up the latest copy, or the latest issue, rather, a copy of the latest issue of Grid Magazine.
Volume 4 for this year.
It's available at select bookstores.
Fully booked will have it.
All right. And it's around 500 pesos, if I'm not mistaken. So there's a good feature there on PWR. You can't miss it. It's got Revo Ranger front and center on the cover. He's the only guy on the cover. So
spotlight,
you really can't miss it.
Dropped.
Yeah. And inside, you've got pictures of pretty much everybody but me.
Yeah.
Sandata's there.
Sandata gets a whole spread.
Sandata got a spread.
And Mike Madrigal
got a full page.
Gamos is in it.
I got a quarter page.
Yes, he did.
Jeez. I got a fucking quarter page, and I didn't even do shit.
Thanks.
Yes, you were stretching.
I was stretching.
You were training.
I was at training. One of the few days I'm at training. They got me.
Actually, yeah. Actually, no, you were in a couple of the photos.
Yeah. just not always. Yeah, you can see my cap.
Okay,
I'm happy.
So I like that you're in the same. You're in the same.
I'm just happy to be here, man.
In the same range now as the Gelotes, who are also in the picture, but whatever.
Gelote ka! Gelote!
Anyway, so there, go pick it up. It's a good issue.
There's a real thick issue. It's 500 pesos, but only
there's
because
a lot
Grid,
of stories.
Yeah, it's because lot Grid is, since going quarterly, it's been really thick. Thick as a milkshake. And please support the local magazine industry.
Yes, because it's not dying, guys. It's just evolving.
It really isn't dying, so please go buy if you're a fan of
You
us.
Can also buy it online. You can also buy it
yeah,
online.
Yeah, you can also buy it
that's
online.
Your thing,
but having the print version of the magazine
Smells nice, too.
It smells nice. It's nice to hold. It's very tactile. You know, there's something about reading it on
hard
glossy
copy.
Something about reading it on glossy paper that you cannot get reading it online.
On a tablet.
Yeah. And of course, as we keep talking about supporting your local industries, support the local film industry, particularly the good films.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. Yes.
We don't need to support all the other trash films.
Watch
Sargao. Cinematography was excellent. Storytelling was something that I really appreciated. I got my dad to watch it with me. And you know, if you don't want to watch it for Jerico Rosales, watch it for Erich Gonzalez and Jasmine Curtis.
Yeah, or Jasmine Curtis.
Or Ange Pesumal, if...
Yeah.
Like her.
Of course, yeah. So, like, I shared this story on Twitter. When her name showed up on her own title card, I was like, oh, is that friend ko yan?
Hi.
Sabi ko rin yan, friend ko yan.
Wait, today is the awards night. Can we check if she's won anything yet?
It's probably not done yet at this point, yeah. So we'll probably check it after we record. So,
and, you know,
anyway.
After, and by the time you hear us next, Wrestle Kingdom would have been in the books.
I guess.
Diba?
I don't know. We'll see.
Thereabouts?
Yeah. So
we'll see you in 2018.
Yeah, we'll catch you again in 2018. Oh, and by then, we'll probably be talking about Wrestle Kingdom 12.
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
hopefully. Depending on when we record. If we're not talking about Wrestle Kingdom 12, it's probably because we recorded it the day before.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So this is probably going to be it for us. It's our last episode of the year.
See you next year.
See you next year. Episode number 200 coming up in a few weeks. And we'll be
200.
Yeah, we'll try our best to prepare something special, and something I'll also be saying, or I also said rather, in the Ho-Ho Loon episode. So on behalf of Romaran and Raf Camus, my name is Stancy, and Happy New Year, you filthy animals.
Sit down.
Be humble.
Thank you for listening to the SGP podcast. To get more from the voice of the modern Filipino wrestling fan, go to www.smarkhenry.ph.